May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart find favor in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. And Jesus said to them, Why callest thou me good? None is good except one, God. The first reading for the adults is a wonderful story, and in it, it shows us the clear teaching about the importance of following the commandments as being the way to heaven. But there's this little line at the beginning where Jesus asks the man why he calls him good. Maybe you've thought about that and wondered about it. Maybe it's just slipped by you and you go on to the rest of the story. Now, some people have looked at this and taken this to imply or mean that Jesus was saying he was separate from God, that he was a different person. But if we look at the context of this, this would be a very strange thing for Jesus to say, if that's what he meant. If this is what Jesus meant, that he was not God, this would be worth more than a little comment. This would be blasphemy, and the punishment for blasphemy was death. And actually, that's the charge that Jesus was eventually crucified because of. And so if he had meant that he was not God, couldn't he have just said, don't call me good. There is only one good, and that is God. But instead, he phrased it as a question, asking or inviting the man to think more deeply. What did he mean when he called Jesus good? What was he thinking? And we're also invited to think about that ourselves. Do we believe that Jesus is truly God? And do we believe that he is truly good? Now, later in the story and in the instruction Jesus gave the man, it's clear he was calling him to think about what was truly good. It was pretty clear that man was not giving credit to God. He was being challenged. Jesus was challenging him to think, are you the one who's really being good here by following the commandments as you seem to be so proud of? So asking, what is the source of the goodness? What is the source? Or what is the motivation that he was having for following the commandments? So we're challenged to think about the same question. What do we believe about the Lord's goodness? And this is a really important thing for us to reach, that sense that the Lord is good, that the Lord has our good as the purpose of his providence, his teaching. It's really all about what is good. And this may be easy for us to believe when life is going well, but what about when life is hard? Maybe the car breaks down, and then on top of that, someone's rude to us. We might be feeling pretty frustrated, feeling like life is not fair. And then if we call to mind the Lord's teachings or his commandments that we're supposed to love other people, we look at this and say, this person's being rude to me. Why should I love them? Is the Lord's plan for us really a good one? Is it right and fair for him to ask us to love people, even people who are mean to us, rude to us? So it might seem like the Lord's rules are just making our life more difficult, adding extra challenges to an already busy and difficult life. But if we go back to that most important teaching and remember, the starting point for all religion is that the Lord is love, that he loves us. And all of his teaching is about what is good for us. So that's something we can hold on to. The Lord knows what is best. So if a person is being rude to us, if life is hard, we don't know what to do, if we still take that effort, take the time to make the effort to do what the Lord tells us, do you think our life is going to be worse for it? Is it going to be harder or worse because we've followed the Lord's commandments? Or are we going to find that actually the Lord did know something? He did know that when we follow the commandments, when we treat our neighbors with charity and kindness, that things do turn out well. And if we go back to those commandments, if we think about the ones the Lord reminded that man about, there are a lot of rules about what not to do. And it might seem like, how can this be about making me happy? How can this be about what is good if there are a bunch of rules I have to follow about things I can't do? But it's an important thing to think about these commandments in that they're not just rules for us to do good to our neighbors or not hurt our neighbors. These rules the Lord has also given us for our own good. So if we are tempted to break the commandments, we're going to maybe be hurting someone else, but we're also hurting ourselves at the same time because we're not respecting what the Lord is trying to do for us or trying to give us. So if we're thinking of stealing, we're not respecting all the gifts the Lord has given to us. If we commit adultery, we're not respecting the marriage the Lord wants to give us. If we lie, we're trying to change the truth or change some situation the Lord has allowed us to come into. And even murder, it's about not valuing the lives and the people the Lord has given us. Now, from this perspective, it's easy to see how those last two commandments really are important. They're about not coveting. And in fact, all the commandments are about not wanting to change what the Lord has given to us. So breaking any of the commandments comes from a place on our part of not trusting that the Lord knows what's best and is going to give us what we need when we need it. If we break the commandments, we're not content with what the Lord is doing for us. We're going to miss out. If we're always thinking about what we don't have, we're going to miss out on both the blessings and the challenges the Lord wants us to face. Now, it's hard to come to that place of really trusting that no matter what, the Lord is taking care of us. And there are two things we're going to talk about that get in the way of believing that the Lord knows what's best. The first thing is that we can't see from the Lord's perspective. We can't see the future. So we're always going to be stuck with looking at what's happening right now and not knowing what's going to happen in the future. So our temporary situations might seem unhappy, might seem like the Lord's not even there for us. But in fact, He is there all the time and providing for our eternal good. In divine providence, we read, "The divine providence regards eternal things and not temporal things, except so far as they accord with the eternal things." So if we insist on focusing on what's happening right now, we might get upset when things don't go the way we want or expect. We will miss out on the plan the Lord has for us. And the second challenge is one that's related, that we need to go through temptation and struggle to get to heaven. And if we don't believe this or understand this, we're never going to be happy when things are hard. The fact is, the Lord helps us not by preventing any opportunities for growth, but sustaining us and showing us the way when life is hard. We are going to face struggle, at times doubting that the Lord is really there, really making things better, because from birth, we have evil tendencies and they're going to be at odds with the plan the Lord has for us. They're at odds with those heavenly loves the Lord wants us to experience. So life will be hard as we get rid of those evil loves. And there's going to be a contest or a struggle in us to see which love is going to rule. And that contest or temptation will at times be painful. But if we hold on to this, that the Lord loves us and He wants to bring good into our lives, that we'll know that the first part of that is going to be helping us escape from the hells. So to trust the Lord means trusting that His providence is going to provide that each challenge or temptation that we face will come at the time we need it, and it will lead to lasting growth. And if we look at the stories about the children of Israel, how every time they face something hard, they're ready to complain, they're ready to give up, we can be reminded, no matter what happens, the Lord is there. He's going to take care of us. And even what seems like a difficulty will in fact turn out to be something for our benefit. So these are things we need to believe if we're going to trust that the Lord is there. But even if we accept this, if we know these things, there are other obstacles getting in the way of us really experiencing that confidence, that trust in the Lord. We might know He's good, know He's going to take care of us, but still feel anxious about the future, feel anxious when things go wrong. But if we want to trust, the Lord says there's a little bit more we need to do. We need to shun living contrary to the Lord's commandments. We need to shun living contrary to the Lord's commandments. We also need to shun trusting our own intelligence and our own plans for what the future is going to hold. And this is what the story of the young man shows us, that the Lord first asks him if he follows the commandments. So if we are not following the commandments, we don't really believe in the Lord, and we can never trust him. Because if we say we believe in the Lord, but we don't do what he says, we don't really believe. We don't believe that what he is teaching us is for our own benefit. It's for our own good. And more than that, we can't actually experience loving and following the Lord if we're disobeying his commandments. We can't feel the joy of heaven if we're living a life of evil. As long as we are not shunning evils, we can't experience the true delights of good. We can't expect and tell the Lord we're only going to stop loving those evils after he gives us everything good. No, we can only experience true goodness if we already have removed evil. And again, the story of the children of Israel, it shows us the result of thinking we know what is better than the Lord. The Lord had promised the children of Israel they would inherit the land of Canaan. But when they finally arrived there, they didn't believe they could conquer the land. And so they doubted the Lord. They couldn't believe the Lord's plan was really meant for their happiness. They said, "Why have you brought us here to kill us?" Or that his plan actually fit their situation and accounted for all their problems. They couldn't believe it. What could possibly the Lord have been thinking to bring them into a land filled with dangerous giants, armies, cities, all wanting to kill them? The Lord couldn't possibly have foreseen that, and so they doubted. And also years later, when they were living in the land of Canaan, they were eventually conquered and carried away captive into Babylon. And again, the children of Israel couldn't believe this was part of the Lord's plan. So they tried to plan for their own future. They tried to escape this fate the Lord had told them to accept. And if we trust our own sense of how things are or should be going, we could be like the children of Israel, thinking that facing the difficult conquest of the land of Canaan, it's not possible, or that being carried away into the Babylon is a terrible fate the Lord couldn't possibly have foreseen or have planned for us. But the Lord sent to them the words of the prophet Jeremiah, and he sends to us as well the reminder. "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." If we continue to trust and obey the Lord, things will turn out well. Now, as we get older and experience life's difficulties and hardships, hopefully we gain perspective on this. We can look back on our life, all the times the Lord has blessed us, also see all the times that challenges or difficulties turn out to be a blessing in disguise. And it may be a surprise, but many people who have experienced a life-changing accident, such as losing limbs or being paralyzed, will look back years later and say they would not change it, even if they could, because that event was key in who they became today. They wouldn't go back and change something that looks like a terrible disaster from the outside, because they could see that it had been from the Lord's providence. Now, the wonderful reality is that if we choose to trust the Lord, we choose to follow him, that trust is self-fulfilling. The more we trust in the Lord, the more he can care for us and bring good into our lives. And this was the fundamental truth that we learned from the story of the children of Israel. In their constant doubting, they are also us. They're showing us what is going to happen to us on the path to heaven. Their constant doubting is not what we should be doing, but it's going to tell us how we're going to feel. Because no challenge is real if we know ahead of time that we're going to complete it. No temptation is a temptation if we are not in doubt and in temptation. So we're not supposed to react the way the children of Israel do and doubt the Lord and curse the Lord when difficulty comes, but we need to know that's how we're going to feel. Part of us is going to feel afraid and in doubt. But we can look past the stress and the fear and trust the Lord is going to bring us through. And this is the paradox of temptation. We need to experience real struggle, but we also need to get past that struggle and trust the Lord. Because when we are in the Lord and in confidence in Him, we don't need to fear anything because we know He will give us the power to win. So these are those two things that we need to know and things we need to do in order to trust and have confidence in the Lord's goodness. We must know that times of temptation will come, and the Lord's infinite wisdom in the Word is going to show us how He's going to bring us through to eternal happiness. We need to shun living contrary to the Lord's commandments, because everything that He teaches us is for our benefit. And if we disobey, then we can't experience the happiness He wants for us. We also need to shun thinking that we know better about what is right and what is best for our lives. Because as long as we're holding on to our own ideas, we won't be able to see what the Lord has in store for us. So it comes down to this. If we want to experience and trust in the Lord's goodness, we need to love and trust the Lord. We need to make that choice to follow Him and love Him. And not some imaginary God who only does what we want and makes life easy for us, but the Lord who is all love and has all wisdom for how to bring about our eternal happiness. We read finally from the Arcana Celestia, "He who believes that he loves the Lord and does not live according to His commandments is very much mistaken. For to live according to the Lord's commandments is to love Him. These commandments are truths which are from the Lord, thus in which the Lord is, and therefore insofar as they are love, that is, insofar as men live according to them from love, so far the Lord is loved. The reason is that the Lord loves man, and from love wills that he may be happy forever. And man cannot be happy except by a life according to his commandments. Because by means of these, a man is regenerated and becomes spiritual, and this way can be raised into heaven. Peace has in it confidence in the Lord, that he directs all things and provides all things, and that he leads to a good end. And when man is in this faith, he is in peace, for he then fears nothing, and no solicitude about things to come disquiet him. A man comes into this state in proportion as he comes into love for the Lord." Amen. Please rise. Glory be to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one God of heaven and earth. Of his kingdom there shall be no end.